From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Lindsay Brolini with a quick look at state and local news. The Alaska Supreme Court upheld the state's new open primary and ranked choice general election system in a two-page ruling issued Wednesday. Scott Kendall is a lawyer who successfully argued the case in favor of the new law, which voters passed in 2020. He says he's grateful and relieved.
Now we have clarity that this law is the law of the land for our elections.
He says it's important for all voters to know they can vote for any candidate in the August primary.
And I think it's a message to candidates and maybe unconventional candidates that elections are for you now, too. Even if you don't think of yourself as a partisan or a party person, there is a system and a path for you now. And please take the opportunity and run and give Alaskans all those choices that they deserve.
Ken Jacobus is the lawyer who argued against the law.
It's disappointing, but the Alaskans are going to have to live with it now. I don't think there's any way to take it up to the U.S. Supreme Court where it'll be heard. So the 2022 election will be under the new system, and we'll have to see how it plays out.
Both Kendall and Jacobus say they believe the court issued the decision just one day after they argued the case to give the Division of Elections time to prepare for the primary. And in other news, the U.S. Senate spent Wednesday debating a massive voting rights bill. As expected, Republicans blocked it by filibuster. It's a divisive issue and a top Democratic priority. Amid high stakes for the country, Lisa Murkowski says she's trying to find a middle ground. As Alaska Public Media's Washington correspondent Liz Ruskin reports, the senator may be an island of one.
Murkowski says the debate has been reduced to voting rights versus voting rules. Ever the moderate, she sees both sides and a lot of danger to American democracy.
You got part of the country that thinks this bill is about protecting the right to vote. Another part believes that this bill will do nothing but undermine it. And so we're both sitting in a situation, I think, where both sides are now set to cast doubt on elections if they don't win.
For years, Murkowski was the only Senate Republican to support restoring parts of the Voting Rights Act. She sponsored bills that would again require states with a history of discriminating against minority voters to pre-clear changes in voting laws with the federal government. It's an abomination to other Republicans who rail against federal control. But even Murkowski doesn't like the 750-page mega bill the Democrats put up for a Senate vote. It would expand voting by mail, end partisan gerrymandering for U.S. House, and allow voters to show more types of ID at the polls. She, like other Republicans, says the bill goes too far in telling states what to do. For instance, she says the best way to enhance voting opportunities in Alaska may not be a requirement that early in-person voting be available for a period that includes at least 2 weekends, as the bill mandates.
If you're out in a village and you're living a subsistence lifestyle, Saturday and Sunday don't mean anything to you. It's when are the animals moving? When are the fish moving?
Murkowski says she likes elements of the bill, like improving election security, requiring public notice of voting rule changes, and protection for voters and polling places. She says she's open to negotiating a compromise.
I think that we need to do everything that we possibly can to avoid further polarizing voting rights and election reforms. It may be too late. I don't know. It may be just too late, but I think we have to try.
She says a handful of other senators from both parties are also looking for common ground. That was not evident in the Senate debate. Speaker after speaker spoke of dire consequences if the other side wins. Democratic Senator Patty Murray of Washington cited former President Trump, who said recently that sometimes the vote counter is more important than the candidate.
And what Donald Trump means in this case was clear. He wants his loyalists to oversee our elections to make sure the outcome is always in his favor. I mean, just sit with that.
Alaska U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan is among the Republicans calling the bill harmful federal overreach. He spoke via Zoom at a Chamber of Commerce luncheon in Soldotna.
What these voting rights bills do is they take away the state's prerogatives to run their own systems. And I think that's actually dangerous from the perspective of election security.
After Republicans block the voting rights bill with a filibuster, Democrats plan to vote to get rid of the filibuster, but they don't have the votes to do that either. With help from Sabine Pooks in Soldotna, I'm Liz Ruskin in Washington, D.C.
The Juneau Assembly will soon consider removing one of the first hurdles for a cruise line's plan to build a new dock for its ships. For the last 17 years, Juneau's long-range waterfront plan has called for a new mixed-use neighborhood and marina between the U.S. Coast Guard facility and the mouth of Gold Creek. That's also where Norwegian Cruise Line bought a nearly 3-acre piece of land known as the Subport Lot in 2020 for a whopping $20 million. As is, it's unclear if the city's waterfront plan fits with Norwegian's goal to build a new cruise ship dock there. It would be Juneau's fifth parking spot for big ships. The city's plan on the books calls for a marina for smaller boats and a long floating dock for visiting yachts, small cruise ships, the military, and, quote, other vessels. It would likely obstruct a big cruise ship dock there. City staff are proposing an amendment to the existing waterfront plan that kills the marina and floating dock concept. Instead, there'd be a facility for one large cruise ship and the neighboring federal agencies, the U.S. Coast Guard and National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Amending the waterfront plan wouldn't clear the way for Norwegian to build, but it would be one less thing for the Juneau Planning Commission to parse when it considers granting Norwegian a permit to develop its property.
The amendments required is the first step.
Alexandra Pierce is the city's tourism manager. She says the Planning Commission would still have other bread-and-butter urban planning issues to weigh.
The zoning in the area, parking and traffic requirements, things like that.
Pierce presented the proposed changes to the waterfront plan last week and has been asking for public comment. Pierce says so far, people have voiced strong support and strong opposition.
Haven't seen a ton of comments yet, about a dozen. I would say that it's fairly similar to the types of comments that we received in the Visitor Industry Task Force.
A professional phone survey conducted last year shows that most Juneau residents support Norwegian's development of the dock. To formally weigh in on the city's long-range waterfront plan amendment, email Alexandra Pierce at alexandra.pierce@juneau.org. The comment period is open through the end of January. Pierce plans to update the assembly in a committee meeting on Monday. The assembly must also hold a public hearing before its final vote on the amendment, which would likely be in February. Things were looking up for Alaska's seafood industry in many ways in 2021. More people around the world took to buying and cooking seafood at home, and seafood prices were up statewide. But the industry is still struggling with many of the challenges brought on or exacerbated by COVID-19, like supply chain issues and the cost of mitigating the spread of the virus. That's according to a new report from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, the state's seafood marketing arm. Ashley Heimbinger is the communications director for the institute.
Our industry is still facing a lot of the challenges that it faced both at the start of the pandemic in 2020 and even before that.
She says this year's report scrutinized numbers from 2019, since 2020 was such an anomaly. It found the seafood industry created the third most jobs of any industry in the state that year, behind oil, gas, and tourism. And it generated the second highest labor income. Many of those jobs were concentrated in the Bering Sea and Bristol Bay regions. Fishermen in Alaska's fisheries earned a gross $636 million in earnings in 2019. And Alaska contributed 11% of the global supply of salmon. Still, the report says farmed salmon outnumbers wild salmon almost 3-1. The Institute also analyzed preliminary industry data from 2021.
In terms of differences between 2020 and 2021, we are seeing the price of Alaska seafood increase for the value of all of our stakeholders.
That was true for Cook Inlet last year, where fishermen reeled in more salmon and higher earnings than they did in 2020, despite a continuing downward trend for the fishery. You can read the whole report at alaskaseafood.org. You're listening to KTOO News. I'm Lindsay Brolini.